But these are all the artificial problems he's discussing there. They are not his problems. I have no problems. You understand? I have no questions of any kind at all. So if somebody asks me a question, what am I to do? You see, that is not my question. I put that question to myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I try to explore for the sake of the questioner. See, because this is an artificial question, I explore, assuming for a moment that it is my question.
Mm-hmm.
So when you ask me a question, I'm in a state of not knowing. I really don't know the answer. There is no answer to this question at all. So the whole process of exploring this question with you is to take you along and put you, you see, ultimately it brings me to the same point. It's a complete circle and puts me back in a state of not knowing. I start with this, in a state of not knowing, I explore the question for the sake of exploring the whole field of, from which the question springs up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you see, I come back, you are left there. You see, into the same state of not knowing, I'm already in a state of not knowing, and so I'm in a state of silence again. And you are caught up in this, the intellectual explanations. And
mm-hmm.
So you try to move along with, let me, I have to use you, you see.
Yeah, one.
Yeah, but I have to find out some way, you see, not that, but anyway, you see, you stop there, you cannot take the lead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind if I make this, does it make any sense?
Yes, it will.
There are no questions. There are no questions at all. What happens is,
mm-hmm.
the questioner disappears.
Uh-huh.
There are no questions at all except the question how to go there, you see, to the railway station.
Yeah.
What is the fare from here to Geneva?
Yes.
Why I want to go to Geneva? These are all irrelevant questions.
Yes.
There must be a reason for me to go to Geneva, to consult a doctor or to do something, to take the plane to India or some such thing. So these are all the questions relating to the everyday life of an individual. But all the other questions are not there for me because there is no questioner, there is no self as you put it.
Mm-hmm.
There is no center. Wanting to find out all these, all the answers to the questions he has. This is the difficulty, and there is a communication gap, not that there is a difficulty of language. We discussed the same subject. I asked him, you see, how do I express myself? If somebody comes with a question, I have the difficulty of communicating with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went on describing, you see, one day the science will discover a new language, and in the meantime I am dead and gone. There is nothing to communicate even, you see, to make the individual understand that this is a silly thing to put questions.
Mm-hmm.
That there are no answers. It's not that, in the sense that metaphysical questions have no answers, but all these questions are irrelevant. There are no questions for me. And so why you put these questions? Why is he bothered about these things at all? They are of no importance at all to the human being. Because since he is not living, he is thinking about these problems. If he is living the life, he won't ask what is the meaning of life, what is the purpose of life. It's an intellectual question, it's a frivolous question.
Mm-hmm.
And all the answers you give to that question, whether be it from the point of view of science or from the religious point or philosophical point, you see, they are frivolous answers. They may sound very
profound.
Yes.
But actually it's what he says is not serious. He has his own terminology.
Yes.
That everything that is not related to the relevant,
yes,
is not serious.
Mm-hmm.
So what is relevant and what is irrelevant? He says everything that is perceived by the observer or the experiencer is irrelevant until the self disappears.
Yes.
So he leads everything up to the point where the self disappears,
mm-hmm.
except as he experienced it. I don't get the feeling that he has changed.
No, you see, if you come to that point, if it were not an intellectual approach only, you see, if there is something behind that, he would communicate with you something else.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
He's in a silence, and that silence has, you see, this electrical charges, and it will silence you for a few seconds at least. You understand?
Yes.
The thoughts will come down to how shall I put it? They slow down. In you also. That is the purpose of discussion. What is the purpose of discussion? Not throw words at you. You are more intelligent than I am. You are very clever. You have a tremendous command of English language. Mm. And ideas you have read, you see, thousands of books. And so where am I?
Mm.
So the most important thing is, you see, to understand that this discussion on this level is not going to lead us anywhere.
Right.
If I'm very intelligent, very clever,
and
I can lead you intellectually and make you see this. And so what? Where am I? And where are you?
And where are you? Yeah.
So the most important thing is you don't have to go through all that process at all. And I don't know anything. It is a very interesting thing for me to meet you. It would be very difficult for him to grasp this, you see, that this dialectical thinking about thinking itself isn't going to lead one anywhere.
Anywhere at all.
Perhaps he will be a propagandist of Krishnamurti in his own way.
Yeah, with yet another lingo, an intellectual scientific lingo.
Basically it is the same.
Yeah, it's a semantic lingo, but it is putting into with a scientific rational mind, he is using that approach to arrive at where he thinks Krishnamurti has arrived.
Has arrived.
He thinks he has arrived.
He doesn't know what it is.
But has he presented it?
No.
Has he shown any signs of it?
No.
That's the whole thing. Is he living it?
No. Once Krishnamurti told me, sir, people will find out, you see, that you have nothing, you know. You can give lectures on this, you see, much more brilliantly than I can do. The people will find out you have nothing. Because what is important is what is there behind. You may not be able to speak at all.
At all.
Sit silent, and that silence influences the man.
Yes, yes.
There seems to be some difficulty in it.
Well, this is, for example, Sri Ramana Maharshi arrived after 20 years of silence. He had to learn how to speak again.
How to speak again. And he also read a book in order to understand, what is all this funny business,
that
colored his mode of expression. He fell back on the Hindu traditional phrases.
Yes.
It must be said to the credit of Krishnamurti that he has come with this strikingly original approach.
That's right. Yes.
You know, to this problem,
yes,
for the first time.
Yes.
And it will destroy, it will help so many people to pick up this new lingo and express it. That is not going to say, we have hundreds and thousands of profound Hindu scholars. Radha Krishnan, you can't beat him. He has interpreted the Hindu religion all over the world to the masterminds in a very convincing, logical, rational way. But where does it take one? To write another book like that, or to prepare a thesis and get a PhD, that's all there is to it.
Yes.
Or if you create a society like the Krishnamurti Society, they will all be the propagandists.
All over again.
That means you are destroying the very quality and the essence of the insight of Krishnamurti into the whole human problem. So that all this happens when a man talks, you know. That's one. It encases, it entombs the very essence of your being. But what, after all, is this? It is not a new discovery. It is not something that comes from outside. When this, the whole process comes to an end, the whole search comes to an end. Not that you would arrive at a point or a destination, but the search comes to an end because the seeker disappears. You call him the seeker, the perceiver, the observer, the experiencer, or the self, or whatever word you want to use, they are all the variations of the same entity inside of it. So when that entity comes to an end, what is left is, you see, is a body. You know? The physical body, and the senses operate in a tremendously sensitive way. Because the mischievous fellow inside dictated what You should see what you should not see, what you should like, what you should not like. This is beautiful, that is ugly, this is right, this is bad, and so on. He destroyed the sensitivity, he said, of the senses. And they say, I think I told you, the ophthalmologists tell us that the eye takes in only 2% of what the eye sees. So 98% is gone, wasted. And
where
so are they listening?
Where is it?
And they also tell us that the greatest genius uses only one-tenth of the human brain's capacity.
Yeah.
The greatest genius.
Yeah.
What happens to the other 9%?
You see, now what happens is, you see, the animal brain, what they call that which we have in common with the animals, this undergoes mutation. It is not the mind. Is only one part. To me, the mind is a very difficult thing to define and to describe. It is not only the mental activity. Mental activity is only a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the nervous system? What about the brain? The whole physical body has to change, because you see, it cannot function in exactly the same way. So when this happens, the whole thing changes.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing to it, just jump. Of course, you can't use it in this context. But if you mean,
It is in a way. Yes, it is in a way.
Because the thing cannot be guaranteed.
No,
by any method, there's no way that will bring you 100% guarantee, no matter what you do, that you will get this thing. Therefore, he has to speak of something like luck.
Well, it's not
is
only
there 100% guarantee that if the fruit is ripe, it falls?
No, it's not like that at all.
There are no guarantees of any kind, as a matter of fact.
Well,
but you,
I'm only using your words, but what I mean here is, look here, Eugene, as you know, your life, you know, you had tremendous sort of...
I don't think that has led me to this point, Amy.
You don't?
No. Even the Upanishad...
But what he had tremendous luck, or...
Yes,
you know,
throughout luck.
Well, no.
Throughout my life.
You see, the family he was born in, the Shankacharya in
the whole background,
Shivananda.
Hundreds of Brahmins
have also the same
background.
That's right.
So, it doesn't mean, you see, not only if there is, you see, any such thing as a spiritual life or material, it's silly to make this distinction between material and spiritual life. Even the material life, if you want to use the raw mundane life, or whatever phrase you want, whatever word you want to use, there is no guarantee that by duplicating the events in the life of an individual, you will come to the
no,
top.
No, of course not.
We all read the autobiographies and biographies of all the successful people by following the same
path.
This is a pathless reality. You will discover, this is, I think that is how all the systems in India have come into existence. For instance, the yoga system. The student asked him, you see, you are in a state of samadhi, whatever it is, I don't know what it is. But how did you step into this? What brought you into this state? And then he said, the eightfold methods, you know, the yoga, the pranayama, meditation, and so on. That didn't lead me anywhere, somehow by grace of God. You see, you didn't use the word love.
That's a modern
Who are you quoting now?
This is the yoga, Yoga Sutra. And they also have this simile. It's something like, you see, the crow fetching on the branch and the fruit falling down. Why it happens, you see, you don't know.
No, but Yuji, if there must be inexpressible qualities and forces in that which make it ready.
Yes, there's the inner life of a man that is not visible to his closest associates or friends, and this we miss in biography or biography.
The most important thing, nobody ever took me very seriously, you know. They all thought that I was a very frivolous sort of fellow and very irresponsible. And didn't give a damn to anything, that I was not at all serious. you know. But there was some kind of a seriousness inside of me, an earnestness,
yes.
a determination to find out what this is all about,
that's
you know.
Right.
All of the time.
All throughout.
All throughout,
from the childhood, you see.
Yes.
See, that was part of my being, you know. What is this at all? You see, the people who are around me were all frauds, you see. Marvelous characters. I use the word fraud in a different sense.
Mm-hmm.
Not the one who defrauds somebody, but they defraud themselves first, defraud others, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They kid themselves and kid others.
Mm-hmm.
No. You have to delude yourself with, to successfully delude others.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, sir. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it's all right.
Well, then this may have been...
I didn't want to disturb you privacy, but I see you don't have any.
Sit down. Obviously.
I rang up from Geneva this morning and said, I'm coming, and then it was...
She'll sit down.
But, Eugene, I think that is there's no... There isn't luck in that. I mean, that steady sort of...
And also, you see, at the same time, an equal determination... You see, not to pay any attention to the mentally induced states of experiences. How deep they were, you see, they didn't mean anything to me, even this mental experience, you know, the...
You mean so-called spiritual experiences?
All spiritual experiences.
If they were less than this complete transformation,
yes.
You paid no attention to them
at all. I paid no attention at all.
Visions or...
Nothing.
Now, didn't you have sort of big experiences in sleep?
All the awarenesses, levels of consciousness, you see, and astral...
I mean sort of experience.
And also mentally induced states of samadhi and the senses, and so on and so on and so on. And also some aspect of mutation, if I may use this, within the field of thought. You know, that changed the whole thing. That changes your character, that changes your whole way of life, your way of thinking. You know? The experience of what is being said there by Krishnamurti.
Yeah.
You know, it's within the field of thought.
Yes.
Has a tremendous effect. That is the beginning, you know?
Yes.
That is the beginning.
Yes.
And so your whole outlook, your way of life changes. Mm-hmm. That is how all the conversions in the field of religion, we all have converts, you know?
Yes.
A very aggressive man all of a sudden becomes, you say, very quiet, and he's a softie overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were telling us the other day, the prostitute, what is her name?
Angela of Foligno.
Yes, and suddenly, see, overnight, she changed her way of life, and she didn't even know how to write. I think she picked up, you see, something, and she wrote poetry, and that became the basis and inspiration of Dante. So these are all the conversions, you know, the mystical experience. I have had several mystical experiences, religious experiences.
There.
Yes, it is in the field of thought.
The man becomes converted, he becomes
converted.
A Christian or something like that.
Yes.
Before his life was dissolute.
Yes.
And there's no idea in the West of something further, total transformation.
Total transformation.
As long as he's converted, the priest blesses him and says he's saved because he now believes.
Naturally.
And it's a good life. And there's never any teaching that this is nothing.
Nothing.
But
you
nothing.
Can write commentary. Mm-hmm. You'll be a marvelous exponent of Krishnamurtian lingo. Mm-hmm. But the variation of the same, which is of no good to you, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you will interest a few more people in this. Thing you see, well, we have all these commentaries and marvelous exponents of the Hindu religion.
Hindu religion has always been intolerant, yes?
Tolerant.
Now, if somebody were to step out of the total structure of the church,
he's out.
This would never. The church had power.
They will throw him out.
For hundreds of years, this would never be tolerated.
They will throw him out.
Not throw out. The man who would be burned at the stake.
All right.
He was a heretic. He was never allowed in the Western
What's more, you see, Western philosophy and Christian thought teaching has got the individual enthroned at the center. It hasn't got even the essence there that that's a false sort of fabrication of thought. The individual is the unit. And you become a great individual, but
the individual must be saved.
The eye must be saved.
Yes, but not the way of the eye.
There's no questioning. It must become a bigger eye and a better eye and a more devoted.
Just a virtual, a more believing eye.
Mm.
Yes.
This is why I meditation. It's much more difficult for Western minds unless they've thrown it all out.
It's a little easier because the church has, after so many hundreds of years, lost its power, has relaxed its grip. And now they're breaking out. Young people are beginning to ask questions, and now there's a chance for something to happen. Before it was totally impossible for over 1,000 years.
Yeah. Even now, you see, even now, you mean to say that any monk in the Ramakrishna Mutt, by some chance, gets into...
It doesn't have the power it had, sir.
No. If any monk, you see, inside that movement...
They step out of the order now. He has to step outside the order. Yes, they do.
Yes, sir.
You see, there's nothing there.
Nothing there.
Young people step out of the church, out of the religion of their fathers, everywhere, and it all comes to the world, not just in the West.
You see, a realized man, if you want to use that word, has this power. That's all. He cannot create another teacher. You understand? Nobody can do it for you at all. You see, nobody can do this for you. It's a thing which which nobody can give it to you. It's impossible.
But you...
There's no question of sharing.
No, of course.
You know, this talking, you see, well, as I told you, it encases the whole thing, the very essence of it, and this talk misleads you. And you create more talkers expounding the variations of the same thing. That's how we have all this.
Well, then what you have is the phenomenon of absolute lack of communication.
Actually, there is no communication.
So there is no ground on which people can reach.
There can't be any communication between you and me at all.
At all.
Period. It's any attempt on my part to communicate.
I'm saying that all my life.
It's only a... how shall I put it? It is useless. Mm. And yet, why do I do it? You will very well ask me.
Well, irrelevant, as Bone would say.
Why do I do it? Because this is the way to live. You see, why don't these people live this way?
Yes.
You know?
But look here.
And it's the very talk destroys the essence.
Yeah.
The beauty of it, the quality of it.
Mm.
This experience you don't have, let us call this experience, but you don't have. And so what you can and will do is only to interpret this in terms of your own words. This I cannot, is I think, I'll give you this simile, Sarasar Killer Couch makes a statement something like this. If you can possibly tell somebody how to tie a knot, you know, without using any gestures, without any movement on your part, very successfully, and make him, you see, tie this knot, that means you have mastered the English language, he said.
Speaking about it would be really difficult.
Just speaking about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's extraordinarily difficult, this thing.
Mm-hmm.
The same is true here.
But do you really, really feel that it was some sort of chance anyhow, and that the cumulative impact of this, particularly this force of your inquiry, don't you feel that led to an inevitability of it? Because
yes, but do people have the...
Do
they have it, you see?
Yeah.
When he talks of passion, you misinterpret it in some other terms, you know? It's an intellectual question with many people.
And what's more, the questions...
And yet I did nothing to do anything about it, except trying various experiments in my own way and rejecting them all, including Krishnamurti's approach. Krishnamurti and Lingo didn't interest me at all because it was, to me, it's something similar to that of our own way of approach. Maybe that stood, you see, in the way of my understanding. But what is there to understand? First, we don't know what it is. He says, I can speak, let's leave Krishnamurti out. You don't know what this is. You understand? That is the difficulty. No matter what I say about life, after all, what I'm left with is the living quality of this body. The living quality of this body.
Of this being.
Of this being. You see, all right, you see, the body, you still object to the word body, but this body is not an ordinary body. When once you see the mechanism that is directing the body is put out of place or position, you see, this body becomes different. This becomes the instrument of the cosmic energy.
Mm.
You know, something descends on you. This is the only thing that descends on you. And that descends on you, it affects anything around you at the particular moment. If somebody were here, it would certainly affect him. He may not be...
You mean in these special moments?
Special moments. It's even this the silent deed descends on you. You will certainly affect. When I mentioned this to him, it is difficult in large groups. That is true.
Yes.
I'm using your word, constellation. See, to constellate this silence is the only way. But that, you see, people use it as a drug. You know? You come year after year to listen to the talk because it's very stimulating. It has become a stimulating thing.
And a comforting thing.
Comforting thing. And this will be more comforting, you know. To sit in a peaceful atmosphere and forget your worries for a while.
Yeah.
But that doesn't take one anywhere.
Well, I saw through all that last year.
Yeah.
I broke through that far, but then, of course, how far could I go after that?
What you brought out this afternoon seems to be terribly significant. This lifelong, consistent inquiry. You know? Maybe, I don't think that's really common.
Well, you can't say, really.
No?
You don't know how common or how uncommon it is. There may be many people who pursue with fervor, intensity, depth, this very thing and never arrive at it.
It's at the same time what you say, fervor, intensity, depth, were not there inside of me.
Even?
Yeah. At the same time it wasn't an intellectual question. The whole being, you see, was that question. You know?
Mm.
My whole being was that question and that question alone.
Mm-hmm.
And when this came in, you see, this is violent. It comes in a very violent way.
Mm-hmm.
It is not.
So we've heard. Yeah.
It comes in a very violent way.
Yes.
You know, nature's ways are to revel. Nature's way of producing revolutions is not a the dove descending on your head. No, it isn't. It's a very violent thing.
Well, at least it was kind enough to put you in a nice quiet place like this with a few decent friends around.
Ultimately, but he went through a very bad period, a tough
period.
I was living in Gestad at the time, and I used to go for a walk from here back to Gestad. I stayed until almost 11 o'clock and really late sometimes, and by the bedside. So I'd go for a walk back to look at the stars. It was very clear that last summer.
Do you mean to say that I am listening to the sound? No.
There is the sound.
There is the sound, that's all there is to it.
But our vibration and temper too.
Huh? That is the physiological explanation. How do you...
Just gave an explanation.
That's all.
Oh, so you don't perceive it.
No. Just the sound. There is just a sound, and why do you say it is a sound? Because it is the ear, you see, that is recording the sound. What it is, you see, it's not my question, whether it is Beethoven's
ninth.
All sounds, you see, that's all, are the same to me. This is
I know.
All sounds, no matter how musical it is, or how absurd it is, or the chorus of cats there, you see, or what is his name?
That was not my question at all, so let's forget my question.
So when I'm not able to distinguish these sounds, when I want to, yes, there is, you see, I'm not a boob, isn't that the word? Or a moron, I'm not that dumb, you see, it's there for me, you see. If I want to stand there and enjoy, you see, somebody playing violin, I can enjoy, there is an enjoyment. And all the time, this is this particular note, that is this is a master playing this, it's not there, you see, it's a good sound played by... an artist, you see, if you look at a picture, you see, it has its effect on you. Not that somebody who is evaluating it, there is no mental activity at all, unless there is a need for a mental activity. I don't know, that is do I make sense?
In other words, you're kind of like a man I used to know who wore a hearing aid. Mm-hmm. And when there was something that he didn't want to hear or know, he would just very quietly turn it off.
Yes.
And in a way, your realization or...
It's quite the opposite.
Word,
became blue, I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. From here?
Yes,
from the domestic chair.
Listen, you dear, haven't you got any power to sort of, after all, look here.
What value has
he got any power?
Yes.
Can't he give his friends a hand?
Yes, I can give, but it's of no value at all to you.
How do you know?
Yes, because I know the violent nature of this power.
Well, I was supposing we're prepared to sort of
I don't think you are. You don't want this, I tell you. You don't want this. What you want is a totally different thing.
Namely, what?
What you want is a totally different thing. The idea you have of this state of being is totally unrelated to this actual state of being.
Well,
so, no matter how long I talk, I will never be able to communicate to you. What actually is this state of being? I don't know what to say. Shall we call it the state of being?
That I believe, of course, I believe that. But is it impossible, you see, for you really to, by some push, giving a push or something, some damn thing? You see, I don't think it's a matter, anyhow, one can only speak for oneself. It's surely one doesn't know what it is, and it would be foolish to, I'm not imagining. But what you do see is that the state of being as it is, you know that experience I had, I read a little bit of it, it's very clear to me that that's a contained, well, a capsule, I use the word, as something that is shut off from the eternity. Now, if it's sort of chance-like, can't someone who's, like you say, be a catalyst at least? Can't you give a shove or be a catalyst? Or
maybe, but you see, here I'm not completely shut off from the eternity.
You are not, no.
I am part of the eternity.
Yes, but I said we realize we are, or I realize the I is. Now, what's beyond, I don't know.
There is no beyond, that's what I'm saying. There is no beyond. It is this beyond that is creating the whole mischief with us. There is no beyond at all. So you will not accept that.
It's here and now.
It is there inside of you,
yes.
Right now. The only thing to do is to bring that, you see, the mischief maker inside of you, somehow to, you see.
To an end.
Somehow.
Now what I'm asking you here, can't you buy some power or
the loosening
give a push or something to it?
That's the
It depends on you.
Oh, it's
if
silly,
you're
it's a silly
ready,
question, I suppose,
but you
really,
can't
but
know.
Still,
he can't know and you can't
when you
know.
Are looking for a power or an agency that is outside of yourself.
It is. There is no outside.
There is no outside of yourself.
That's right.
So it has to be done from inside yourself.
As long as one is looking for an agency outside or looking beyond as if something exists this beyond.
You will be deluded and deceived.
Yes. So no matter what is, a man who is in that state is also interpreted in terms of the beyond. The whole edifice of our thinking is a worthless thing. It has no meaning at all. It has no meaning at all. You can use them. You say, well, what do you want me to use? I don't have words. The word is, the beginning of the word or the beginning of the thought dates back to, I don't know how many centuries. We were talking yesterday, the beginning of the sound and the origin of the language and the world.
Yes, this imitation of natural sounds.
Imitation of natural sounds. And thought is a sound. Thought is a sound. And what is sound? Sound is a vibration. So you can't do a thing about the thought. The thought has a value of its own. It has
its own life.
It has its own life. It has no life even if it's something like a matter.
It's a closed system with its own meaning.
No meaning, but it has no meaning. Thought has no meaning. It is the thinker that invests the thought with some meaning. It is the thinker that gives importance to the thought, makes it a very important thing. Without that, it has no meaning at all. It has no importance at all. So how to bring this self, the ego, the I, or whatever you want to call it, the center, to an end? The self will never bring itself to an end. It will never. That means it's death. So what are we to do? It has to die somehow. That will set in motion everything else. One death, that's all. Then you see, if somehow you come to a point of sinking, you know, there it captures it, and that becomes your experience. And that is how you see the whole thinking changes. The conversion takes place in that, but it is still within the field of thought. Anything that happens within the field of thought has no relevancy at all. All that is irrelevant. It may have its own importance. You may be able to convince hundreds and thousands of people and convert them into Krishnamurtian line of thinking. That's all. It is his, it is not yours. When you discover it for yourself, it is something new. It is not his. As I explained to him the other day, I'm never tired. The Newtonian physics is valid, relevant only within the framework of Newtonian physics. Seeing the irrelevancy of it, it doesn't take you anywhere. If somehow you can break through that, you know, then only the Einsteinian physics can come into being. And that has already become irrelevant today. People are afraid of seeing the irrelevance of the Einsteinian physics. But all that is within the framework of thought, within the field of thought. That is why you see the continuity. You know, without